Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's NXT AEW review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW Dynamite and NXT at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Very special AEW this week, Bash at the Beach AEW this week. But an awful lot happening in the world of professional wrestling that we need to discuss before we do delve into either one of these shows. So let's start with the obvious, and that is the unfortunate and untimely death of a legendary wrestler. Rocky Soulman Johnson passes away at the age of 75. Of course, the father of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And in listening to some tributes that were being done, Tony Atlas, I think, said it best when he said there would be an awful lot less African-American athletes at the forefront of professional wrestling without Rocky Johnson, who paved the way. And though he said Rocky and I didn't always see eye to eye, he also said that there was a time very early in his career when he had decided to walk away from the business. And Rocky Johnson pulled him aside and set him straight and told him, you know, you're going to get things yelled at you. And if you think you're the only one and you think it's only because you're African-American, the Jewish wrestlers are going to get things yelled at them. The Spanish wrestlers are going to get things yelled at them. And regardless of what nationality you are, what your skin color is, you better have thick skin in this business, and walking away isn't the answer because you have to overcome that. And Tony Atlas said he was fully prepared to get on a bus and head out, and he was done with professional wrestling. So he owes his career to Rocky Johnson, as probably do more than a few. So our condolences and our sympathies go out to the family, and certainly this is a huge loss for the world of professional wrestling. And interestingly, Tony Atlas said he talked with him 3 or 4 days before his death, and he told him he was doing fine and not to worry about him. He was going to be fine, but such was not to be. So once again, Rocky Johnson, a trailblazer and a legend in the world of professional wrestling, dead at the age of 75. Now on to some other news. We have some confirmation now that Twitch has indeed banned Impact Wrestling from their channel. Impact Wrestling will no longer be seen on Twitch. Now you may ask, well, what the hell caused this? Well, it was a Rob Van Dam segment. And let me be very specific, because I know Twitch is going to get a world of crap for this. Twitch has some very, very specific guidelines to be on their channel. Very specific. And I guess Rob Van Dam's segment with his girlfriend and his girlfriend's girlfriend, for the benefit of people who didn't see it, it was a backstage segment in which he was kind of cavorting on a sofa or a bed or something with his girlfriend, who was very scantily dressed, and his girlfriend's girlfriend, who was also very scantily dressed. And while nothing really happened, it was certainly, you know, it was a little bit adult in nature, and it was more than Twitch felt that their policy would handle. And they banned them. Now, this is horrible news for Impact Wrestling. I mean, this is just horrible news. Impact Wrestling is really going through this. Again, they are the hardest luck wrestling federation, and some of it they bring on themselves because someone should have checked those rules. But they're a very hard luck wrestling federation. On a week where they thought all of the attention was going to be focused on the very first champion of a federation being a woman, not a woman's champion, but an overall champion being a woman in Tessa Blanchard, they not only got sidetracked with Tessa Blanchard's bullying and racial comments, but now they're sidetracked with Twitch booting them off. And a decent part of their audience probably going with it because, let's face it, they've got a better channel now in Access. But an awful lot of people were just tuning in via the internet. Now you could still tune in, I guess, to their YouTube channel or whatever. But it's just one source gone to a federation that really can't afford to have too many sources gone. So, and this is what the world's talking about now, by the way. The Tessa Blanchard thing died down lightning quick. Lightning quick. I thought we were going to be talking about this through the whole month of January. I was the very first female champion for a federation that isn't specifically a women's champion. I thought people were going to be on the news. I thought it was going to make the local news. I thought it was going to make national news. It really didn't. It really didn't. And a lot of it was because of the baggage that came with it. I think that had this not happened with El Rosa Negro and some of the other girls, I think maybe this would have been more widely circulated. But I think the news decided to pass on this Jerry Springer-like nonsense and just say, oh, yeah, it's wrestling, whatever. Which I had a feeling, you know, when this these allegations came out, I said that major news sources are going to pass on this to a large degree. So Impact not only doesn't get the rub they thought they were going to get from making Tessa Blanchard their champion, they get the negative news that they're booted off of Twitch, Mike. It's really such a hard luck federation.
It really is. And look, this is one of the two federations that we said on what Sunday that was in big trouble, and that includes ROH. But yeah,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's come back before. We've seen it come back, you know, from whatever before, 3 or 4 or 5, 10 times before, you know. So, can it come back? Yeah. Will it come back? Probably not from this. I'm not sure. I mean, and we know that people are leaving it. Their workers are leaving it in droves.
Yes.
So how is it, if it plans on coming back, how is it going to come back?
I really don't know, because I'm looking at some ratings statistics that were saying they were getting, you know, they're getting a little better ratings now on Access, but they were getting 10,000, 11,000 people watching. You can't have that. You just can't. And Twitch was another source for them. Now, of course, they can go to YouTube. Then there's another 100 places they can put their show. But Twitch is a modern, hip sort of a thing where people are certainly, tuning into it. And it just made them a little more accessible. And at this stage of the game, irregardless to where it is, if you have access to Impact, that's a good thing. Not everybody gets access. I mean, more people get Access than Pursuit. Nobody got Pursuit that I know of. I have the highest cable package there is, and I didn't get Pursuit. So it was still a good move, but wow. You know, and again, it all boils down to how this Impact is being run. Because irregardless to what you say about the Tessa Blanchard thing, it obviously happened. Here's the deal that bothers me the most about this. First, Tessa Blanchard flat out says, never happened. Absolutely beneath me commenting on it because it did not happen. And then picks up the phone to call El Rosa Negro to apologize for, I guess, something that didn't happen. So let's get that straight. First, she lied about it. Flat out. Which does not fill me with confidence about her being the face of any company. Then she says, well, you know, water under the bridge because we have patched it up, which is great, which is fine. But the problem with that is you didn't patch it up and you didn't say you were sorry until you were caught red-handed and denied it for a day or 2 days. Now, I don't know this because I don't work for the companies, but I would bet you that if this had occurred in WWE or AEW, to be on the safe side, they would have had a no ending to that match. Sami Callihan would still be the champion, and they'd be saying, we'll stare down the barrel of doing this again when this is all died down, because we can't put this belt on you with this controversy hanging over your head. No, instead, Impact said, whatever. We'll still do it. And they cheated themselves out of that big, the rub they would have gotten from that under normal circumstances. Because they didn't do their homework. Before they put this belt on Tessa Blanchard, they didn't say, is there anything that's going to cause us huge embarrassment here? Everybody knew it. Some of the girls worked for Impact at some point in time. And they're saying, oh, everybody knew about this. A lot of people knew about this. So where was your vetting process? And then you go ahead and you give the green light to this skit with Rob Van Dam and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's girlfriend. And nobody says, you know, before we upload this to Twitch here or stream this on Twitch, does this violate their guidelines in any way, shape, or form? Because we don't want to, get in trouble with them. We could just leave that out. It's not a vital segment. We could have just left it out. Nope. Just go with it. And, oh, geez, we blew it again. So, I'm thinking to myself, Todd, there's a lot of people behind the scenes here at Impact who aren't doing their job.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's the Impact Wrestling is like more like a mixed up company, like WCW was, going through all kinds of things and title changes and everything.
I'm not even sure WCW would have done this. I'm not even sure WCW wouldn't have said, well, hold the brakes on this and let's see what happens. So there's one less way to watch Impact Wrestling. And regardless, I know I had people write me, say, nobody watched it on Twitch. Not that many people. Look, I don't care if it's 50 people. I don't care if it's 75 people. The bottom line of the situation is it's one less source. And that's not a good thing. Anyway, one more thing to talk about, I guess, and that is that apparently Triple H put his foot in his mouth, pissed the hell out of Paige and her boyfriend, and apparently made a joke about Paige having an abortion or she don't know how many children she has or could have had or would have had. It was a very, very, very poorly thought out joke. And Paige took umbrage to it, and probably rightfully so. And Paige didn't say a lot. She just kind of said, wow, if your boss is attacking you, no wonder fans still do. For mistakes I've made in the past. But her boyfriend had a little bit of stronger words, basically saying F Triple H. Supposedly they've talked it out and he's apologized. I don't know what the extent of this is, but, it's not good visual for this company, Mike.
Right. It is not good visual for the company, especially for the fact that she's about to get back in the ring again. And
right.
If you're going to piss her off that way, what's her work rate going to be? And look, I'll say it again. She would be another one that if they let her go and she ends up going to AEW, that's big.
Yeah.
That would be big.
Yeah, that would be big. No question. Anyway, of course, the biggest news is the brand new television deal that AEW has signed. It takes them through 2023, which is basically four more years. But more importantly than a four-year deal, it adds a show. I don't know if we can keep up with any more wrestling. I mean, at this stage of the game, my life is eat, sleep, and watch wrestling. It's unbelievable how much wrestling is out there. It's unbelievable. if you're watching every minute of this, God bless you. It's almost impossible at this stage. And AEW is going to add another show. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not 100% sure everybody's glory hallelujah. Everybody's got their hands in the air saying this is the greatest thing ever. I don't know if it is. And I'll tell you why I don't know if it is. Because that makes Wednesday night show missable. Well, okay, I don't have to watch them both. They'll do a recap on the, you know, another night, whichever night it's going to be. I don't know. They'll recap it, I'm sure. I'm not 100% sure this is the greatest thing. Now, I think it's just going to be like that AEW After Dark thing brought to TV. I think that's all it's going to be. But they're saying it's going to be 2 hours. And they're saying they pitched for this because they have a large roster that they feel they can't get to promote in their 2 hour span once a week. And I feel you there, and I agree with you. But at the same time, you're cutting the pie one more slice thin. And I don't know how thin you can cut this before, you know, it collapses. At this stage, we have Monday Night Wrestling. We have wrestling every night, really. There's no point of going through it. We have wrestling every night. Somewhere on some station, wrestling is on every night. And that's not counting the pay-per-views. Because you got Monday Night Raw, Tuesday you got NWA Power, Wednesday you've got AEW and NXT, you got Impact, SmackDown, pay-per-views on Saturdays, but also you can watch on Access TV, you can watch wrestling and New Japan. Wow. Ring of Honor's in the mix there somewhere. I don't even remember when they're on. Obviously, Sundays are pay-per-views. It's literally every single day. And to add a show to the mix right now? I don't know, Mike. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I can't say that it is. And look, we'll get to this, but the ratings are out again. But
yes.
About the ratings and what happened. But if... And I'm not sure. And this plays into when we talk about the ratings and what might or might not happen with NXT and whatever because of the ratings again. So I'll just leave it at that for right now until we get around to the ratings.
Well, we're going to get to them, I think, right now. But I do want to just say this. I know AEW fans are chomping at the bit for this new show. But do not be surprised if it brings ratings for one of them down. Do not be surprised. Right now, AEW on Wednesday is sort of a you can't miss it type thing. Yeah, you can catch up on the internet, but if you want to see it live before you heard all the results, you pretty much can't miss it. And if you do, you got to wait another week to see things. Now you're just going to have to wait a couple of days. I don't know. It's the same thing with like a Raw and a SmackDown, you know, if they want to separate type things, and that's different. That's why Raw and SmackDown did this to begin with, because people were just sick of the same faces on the same shows. How many times are we going to see the same faces? Oh, my God. Here they come out again. How many times can we see Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin? And, you know, so they said, oh, no, we'll just do that once a week. You won't see those faces on the other show for the most part. So anyway, yes, the ratings have come out, and the results are that both shows have dropped since last week, but AEW dropped about 7,000 people, which is nothing. You know, that is, in the world of television ratings, that is nothing, because that just means there were 7,000 people who had something to do that night and caught it later. You know, that's nothing. So they basically stayed even at around 900 and some odd thousand. NXT dropped, and they dropped more substantially. They dropped around 70 some odd thousand, which is a much more substantial drop. And they bottomed out at about 700,000. So that's still like 250 some odd thousand less. And this is a problem, because this is beginning to look like the norm. with everything kind of getting into a groove where you say AEW is not new anymore. It's not fresh and everybody's got to tune in. And NXT having had time to establish itself and be a part of the Survivor Series and really establish their people. We are now getting into this mold where it seems like mid to high 900,000s for AEW and low 700,000s for NXT is going to be the normal. And that's a problem. Now, NXT, look, I'm not saying they're going to go out of business. I'm not saying they're going to fold up camp just because 700,000 is still respectable. But it does make a great argument that NXT is not getting over the way Triple H thought they would. See, this isn't Vince so much now. Vince is involved, obviously. But Triple H, NXT is his baby. And I think that Triple H, in his vast ego, said, when Vince kicks the bucket and things are done my way and not his way, and I do everything sort of NXT style, people will just flood to the show and it'll be the top show and it'll be this, that, and the other thing. Well, Triple H, you're doing it your way in NXT. And it's not even beating AEW. And in the meantime, SmackDown's drawn 2.5 million. 2.5 times what AEW's drawn. So there goes your theory. The NXT guys are not drawing the same interest as AEW currently is. And it's left me as baffled as it leaves a lot of other wrestling fans, because I watch both shows and I can tell you that with very few exceptions, I enjoy NXT more. There are things about AEW now that's beginning to bother me. And we'll get to them in a minute. But NXT, I think, on a consistent basis, puts on a better show. But fans aren't tuning in the same as they're tuning into AEW. And that's as simple as that. And it looks like, Mike, this is probably the new norm.
It really does. And think about this. When NXT was on their somewhat of a short winning streak, there were rumors that AEW was going to move the show someplace. Now, it's not going to happen. Now, that show is not going to happen because there's going to be another show on another day. But before we knew that this other show was going to happen, there were rumors that AEW was going to move. Now, if this is the new norm, then and they can't get over the top on AEW, then what's going to happen with NXT? What's USA going to say to them? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because NXT put on a damn good show this week. They had the Women's Battle Royal featured to find the number one contender, which ends up being Bianca Belair. They had some more of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, tournament matches. They had Keith Lee go absolutely berserk. Really great segment, by the way, if you haven't seen that. Keith Lee going berserk on near the end of the show was fantastic. Undisputed Era did a good job. Of course, we got Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano in a sort of a reconciliation of sorts. Possible DIY reunion, who knows? Apparently they're going to. Hearing they're going to face Mustache Mountain. We'll see. This was a solid show. It wasn't a five-star show, but it was a solid show. Whereas I think AEW was a fair show this week. Some of the stuff was very good. Some of the stuff was very bad. Once again, you can almost it's almost blueprinted what's going to be good. The Jericho Moxley stuff, that's going to be good. The stuff with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega and the slow possible build-up to this feud and probably Paige turning heel, is very good. MJF is very good. The Dark Order's hit and miss. The women's division is a nightmare. And I'm, you know, Literally a nightmare. That match was horrible. Okay? It was just horrible. Not only was it horrible, but it didn't really make a lot of sense. You're building up people as being, you know, the big indestructible people, and then they get pinned. I don't even get the philosophy of that match. Brandi Rhodes is no wrestler. God bless her, she tries. Not happening. But for the most part, AEW is solid. And we're going to see, you know, Bash at the Beach. Really, it was not much different than a normal Dynamite. But we got that great segment where Moxley takes on Sammy Guevara. And after the match, puts him to sleep. After the match, Chris Jericho blinds him. Supposedly blinds him or drives that spike in his eye. I don't know if he's blind in one eye or his eye is injured or whatever it's supposed to be. But, I mean, that's a good segment. But here's the interesting thing. I talked with a friend of mine yesterday who is been in the business a little while. And he asked me a very interesting question that I don't really have the answer to. And that is, what is the difference? What's the main difference between John Moxley and Dean Ambrose? Moxley said he was horribly unhappy being Dean Ambrose. And then he goes over to AEW and he's basically Dean Ambrose. Just take away the comedy. If Dean Ambrose was a heel, he would be John Moxley as a face, which is really weird, but that's sort of what it is. The only difference I can see between what John Moxley is doing right now in AEW and what he did in WWE is they took away his charming sort of irreverent, I'm a wacky guy humor. But aside from that, it's exactly the same. So for him to say, well, you know, so miserably unhappy, well, I don't know. I mean, you're not doing anything that different. Sorry to tell you. It's not like a stunning difference. You know, it's not like Husky Harris and Bray Wyatt. You know, it's not a startling difference at all. But he's still one of the most over, if not the most over people there, as is Chris Jericho, and as is most of the major signings that they did. They're still trying to work on some of the other guys. I think Darby Allin has a chance. Obviously MJF. We got Cody Rhodes answering MJF's stipulations to having a match, saying he'll do all of the stuff. It was an okay show. Don't get me wrong. It just, you know, you called it Bash at the Beach, and it almost was like, oh, this is going to be a special edition of AEW. This is going to be a very, very special edition, almost like a pay-per-view edition. And it wasn't. It was just, it was a normal show, and it was okay. And some of it was better than okay, and some of it was worse than okay. And NXT was, some of it was good. Some of it was very, very good. But I don't think there was anything that was a total bomb. I don't think there was anything like that women's match in AEW that you're just like, God, what are you doing? Obviously, we had the Dark Order looking through slides of that we're not privy to, I guess, of who they may recruit for their. So this is going to be the ongoing thing here, is that they're going to recruit more and more members into this Dark Order. Of course, the rumor that Matt Hardy is going to be the leader is pretty strong here, and it's probably correct. But, Mike, I didn't see anything this week about AEW that, I don't know, that stood out to me as, wow, no wonder it's drawing better. It's superior in many obvious ways. I don't see it.
I didn't see it either, but, again, the ratings stay different, you know? I mean, we may not see it as people who are with a discerning eye that look at these things from week to week on a consistent enough basis, but the ratings say it was a better show. You know, the ratings, the numbers
you know
don't lie.
No, numbers do not lie. And obviously AEW has won 2 weeks in a row handily. But I'm starting to feel that the difference may be people who are just so disgruntled with WWE, they don't want to watch any of their product. WWE ran the risk of that a long time ago, and we talked ad nauseum on this show about it, saying if you keep isolating your fans, if you keep going on Twitter saying your fans are stupid and fans should shut up and fans should eat what they're served and fans don't know anything and fans are this and fans are that and fans are this, it's only a matter of time until some fans say, well, I've about had enough of this. Would you do that? I'll give you a true life story. I have a store that opened a mile from my house. For legal reasons, I won't give you the name of the store, but it's a very popular store chain. And until they opened, I had to go about 8 to 10 miles to get to that same store in a different area. So I thought, this is the greatest thing ever. Well, the people there are rude. On more than one occasion, they've charged me wrong and basically said it was my fault. They're unfriendly. They're vulgar at times with what they're saying to each other, and they're just generally unprofessional. And now, after a month and a half of going there, I've made up my mind, I'm not going there anymore. If I'm going to spend my money somewhere, it's not going to be in a place where these people certainly don't care and act as though I'm interrupting their private conversations or I'm somehow beneath being waited on. And I'll go to where everybody there is friendly and says, hey, good to see you again when you come in. So that's their loss, even though it's closer. Even though it's closer for me. Well, I think sometimes some AEW fans feel that way about the WWE. They were the disgruntled fans who said, I'm done and I'm not going back. I'm tired of being called a moron. I'm tired of being called a slackjaw. I'm tired of being treated like I'm an idiot. Okay, NXT is good, but I'm not going to buy into that because I'm still putting money in the pockets of the people who think I'm an idiot, even if these guys are good. So I don't necessarily think it's even the fault of NXT at this point, Mike. I think maybe these are disgruntled fans who have just said, look, I've had it with the company and anything that they produce.
Right, and we kind of predicted this on this show because...
Yes, we did.
For week on week, we were going, well, we hate this gimmick and everybody hates this gimmick and, you know, or whatever, and you just keep forcing it, feeding it down our throats, and people get tired of having things force-fed down their throats. Whereas if you go to another restaurant and they say, we're going to give you this, but if you don't like it, you can send it back. They're not going to force-feed it down your throat. Then you're going to keep going to that second restaurant.
Cody Rhodes has managed to charm fans into thinking, and I'm not saying he's bluffing. He's managed to charm fans by saying fans come first, and these fans believe it. And so they're going to the, you know, to use an analogy, they're going to the restaurant that treats them better. Even if the food isn't quite as good, it's still good. And they don't have to put up with the nonsense. So I think that might be what's happening, Todd.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's one place they treat you like garbage, a second place treat you a little better, like you're saying, like a restaurant or something like that. You don't like what's on your plate?
Yeah, fans get tired of this. I mean, listen, I was getting tired of it. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, as were all of us on this panel. Every time one of the wrestlers or one of the people in authority tweeted, fans don't know, you've never run a wrestling, oh, please, God, I told you it was going to backfire on you. I told you. I don't know why you think you can throw barbs at the very people who keep your doors open. I don't get it. And I've never gotten it. I don't care if you think it's the greatest thing in the world. You know? And even the wrestlers are guilty of it. You know, Rusev, some guy writes, we really don't like this angle. This angle is stupid and I don't like it. And Rusev writes back, nobody cares what you like. Well, yeah, you should actually, Rusev. You should care what he likes. And I'll tell you why. Because he's keeping the doors open. And even if that's really the way you feel. It's all one guy, who cares? You don't write it. You don't write it. You resist the temptation to address that person. Because why would you? You're mad because one guy don't like it and expressed his opinion. This is not good. And this drives fans away. And what is their alternative right now? Their alternative basically is EW or possibly Impact or NWA, but AEW is the big one. So that's where they're going. And they can watch Impact and NWA, and that doesn't interfere with watching AEW. So I'm not sure if the NXT guys should take it personally. I think the NXT roster is just as talented, probably more, than AEW, but they're just not doing it. And the reason they're not doing it, in my opinion, is a certain group of fans have said, we've had enough of being treated like garbage. And they do not forgive the WWE for some of the things that's happened and some of the things they've done. And they do not like the nonsense. And although they know NXT probably has less of the nonsense, they also know where their money's going and you know, in supporting it. So it's still supporting the same person. So anyway, that's basically what happened on both NXT and AEW. It'll be interesting to see where we go from here with Jon Moxley and what they're going to do with that gimmick. Obviously, Hangman Page, who showed up a little later drunk and was giving a interviewer a hard time, and Omega came in and apologized for him. We're getting something big there. At least there's a story being told there. And NXT is in the midst of a tournament, so there's a story being told there, too. And the women's division, you know, is now set to probably undergo a pretty major change now that Shayna Baszler is probably going to be coming up to the main roster. And Rhea Ripley's era is sort of beginning. You don't want to be the first person. Now, you don't want to be Bianca Belair, because Rhea Ripley didn't win this belt to lose her first shot. So in a way, that's, you know, that's not good. Because you already know where that's going. But I thought NXT, if fair, I think I would give AEW this week a B- or a C+. And I would give NXT probably a B+. What's your thoughts on it, Mike?
Same to Ray. And again, going back to the ratings, look, they AEW won again in that demographic we talked about last week with the 18 to 49 people, which is basically everybody that's on the show right now, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's almost everybody that watches wrestling. That's the thing. It's not like they say 18 to 25, and you're like, well, okay. You know, it's 7 years. That's a very thin demographic. You know, the 16 to 18 crowd watched, okay. No, it's 18 to 49, you said? Jesus Christ, man. That's quite a range. That's quite a range. That's a lot of people. That is a vast majority. I know they say the WWE's audience is over 50. The main crux of their audience is over 50. But just saying my main audience is over 50 doesn't mean like a bazillion 50-year-olds watch it. It just means that the majority of the people who do watch it are over a certain age. This is a problem. That is a wide cut. I've never seen such a wide cut. Usually it's like the 18 to 21 and the 21 to 30 and then the 30 to 39 and then the 39 to maybe 50 and then the 50 over. No, they've got the whole swath, 18 to 49. 31 years worth of wrestling fans, folks. It's a lot of people. When you win that demographic that wide, you're crushing the competition. Sorry, but you are. And in the meantime, how does the WWE respond? Well, they respond by announcing, we're going to do another Saudi Arabia show in February. Terrific. they announced, and they let it slip, by the way. Here's the thing that kills me. Everybody says, well, Drew McIntyre is finally getting his, you know, little push. It's nice to see. You know, he's worked his ass off here, and he come back from injury in NXT, and they started to push him when he came up, and then they kind of let it go, and he got injured again and had to have surgery, and he's back. And we're glad to see Drew McIntyre is getting a bit of a push because he deserves it. And the WWE has finally figured out that, you know, he's got a personality and we'd like to see it. And we're thinking to ourselves, gee, maybe the WWE woke up. And then comes the news, oh, no, that's not why they're pushing him. They're pushing him because they signed a new deal with, you know, UK television. He's like their most featured person over there, and they need a UK representative to be like a top guy. Everything is contingent upon their interests as far as a business and not fans, which is it's so bizarre. They think it's the fans. Well, we got to give the fans an English top guy, otherwise they won't watch in England. Here's the thing that gets me. I grew up watching a ton of very diverse wrestlers. I didn't care whether they came from Spain, they came from the Isle of Samoa, they came from wherever they came from. I didn't care what their skin color was. I didn't care whether they were fat or skinny or muscular. All I cared about is that I was interested in them and I liked them. I don't know where this comes from, that if we open up the WWE network in China, we need a top Chinese representative. Why? Because if they don't look exactly like them, they'll turn the show off. Boy, is that thinking low of your fans. I got news. I watched wrestling. Nobody looked exactly like me. They were all steroid monsters. Every one of them. I didn't look anything like Hulk Hogan. I didn't look anything like Brutus Beefcake. I don't look anything like Batista. I don't look anything like all these gigantic, monstrous guys. I still followed them. So what would in the world would this was the same logic you used with Jinder Mahal, and what happened? Oh, the Middle Eastern market. They need to have somebody to represent. It'll be Jinder, and look what happened. Now you're going to pull the same thing with Drew McIntyre? Could you not just run your wrestling federation? Could you not just say, we're not going to worry about demographics and making sure that in certain areas people have a hero that looks just like them? Could you just run your wrestling federation? Could you just say, no, the guys we're putting on the best matches, those are the guys we're going to push. The guys that we see are getting over with the crowd, even if they're not putting on the best matches, those are the guys we're going to push. Let's see who can charm the crowd. Let's see who can get the crowd behind. Hulk Hogan was immensely popular worldwide. He's not Chinese. He's not Japanese. He's not Middle Eastern. He's not English, and he's not black. And yet all of those demographics loved Hulk Hogan. Why? Don't you see what you're doing is what you're doing is actually racist in itself, because you're saying, oh, if we're going to Ireland, we better get Sheamus up there, and he better be front and center for most of the programming because we need to open up the doors in Ireland. Everything's about doors you need to open up. Instead of just saying, let's really just focus on good, solid wrestling, and the world will watch it because it's entertaining. Everything's a focus group. Everything's a chart. Everything's a demographic. According to our sources, these people are much more likely to watch if there is this type of a person and they say the following catchphrase. What are you doing? Just run your wrestling federation. If it's a good product, everybody will watch it. You know who one of the top action stars in the world of all time was? Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee don't look nothing like me. I'm a redheaded Irish guy. Who cares? Knock that crap off. Mike, that's very alarming news that that's why Drew McIntyre is getting his so-called push.
It really is. And you look at the other companies, particularly AEW. AEW don't do that.
Right.
You know?
No, they're not doing it. He's right.
Right. They got a few people that aren't from America. They got a few African Americans. They got a few, you know, other people, but they don't cater to these focus groups. It seems like that's what they're doing. I mean, they're playing. It's almost like the WWE is playing politics, like the politicians
yes.
do. You see these politicians, they'll stick their finger up in the air to test the way the wind's blowing and take a focus group, and whatever that focus group says, that politician's going to do.
Right.
You know?
No, that's an analogy, and it's absolutely correct. And that's fine if you're trying to get elected to office, but it's not fine if you're trying to get people to watch your television show. Let me give you this. If you did a focus group and said, would you watch a show about zombies wandering the earth and a group of humans, you know, trying to overcome the Walking Dead? A lot of people would say, oh, no, I'm not a horror film fan. No, every week I was a major horror film fan, still am. I own thousands and thousands and thousands of horror films from all over the world. In various uncut versions. I'm a huge horror film fan. When this thing was first pitched, I said it will never work because you can't sustain that level of suspense and everything. It's like after a while, after like 8-9 shows, you're going to be like, Jesus Christ, you know, how long is this thing going on? So I told all of my friends it's going to be a 1-season deal because you can't sustain this. So if you listened to me and I was your focus group, you wouldn't even put on the goddamn show. And it turns out I was absolutely wrong. Good writing was able to sustain that show forever, for a long, long, long time. And spinoffs of it. For a long time. I just wasn't their demographic, I guess. Jesus, when I first saw the advertisement for Duck Dynasty, I said, who's going to watch this? Live action, what is it? A live, you know, reality Beverly Hillbillies? Nobody's going to watch this. Well, I was wrong. So sometimes you can be wrong. And I just don't think saying we need an English guy for the English audience and we need a Middle Eastern guy for the Middle Eastern audience and we need a Chinese guy for the Chinese. Why? Why? Because your focus group told you that's the best way to get people to watch. It's not. You know what the best way to get people to watch is? Great matches. I watch New Japan. A great amount of people don't look anything like me. I don't care. I just like to see it. I can get invested in characters that look nothing like me. Because who does, really? You know, what are you talking about? I'm not Samoan, but I can get into what Roman Reigns is doing. So it's absolutely crazy, and I think it's self-destructive. So we'll see where that goes. As far as the Saudi Arabian show, I don't know what's going to be on there. They're saying that The Undertaker was at the Performance Center the other day. They weren't sure he was really in there working out so much as he was giving some advice, but you can rest assured that if they're going back to Saudi Arabia, they're going back with some names, so that'll probably be one of them. And I see that in a Madison Square Garden card, DX is going to be there, minus, of course, Billy Gunn. So maybe they're going to warm up their act for one more shot. I don't know what's going to happen in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. But I know that every single thing in the WWE for the past couple of years has been laser focused on expanding our business, expanding our advertisers, reaching new potential markets, but not really based on what do the fans want. And in the meantime, AEW, it comes out every time somebody sticks a microphone in front of one of their faces. I don't care who it is. It's not 5 minutes before they say, and by the way, we're laser focused on what the fans want. That's our main goal. Arn Anderson, who I don't think has ever been called a liar by anyone in the business, said they're not kidding when they're literally saying at these production meetings, the first thing that comes up is, well, what do you think the fans would like to see? what do you think would be good for the, you know, the fans at this stage? Well, if that is in fact your philosophy, then is it any wonder that you're doing, you know, 250,000 more viewers every week? Because you're trying to please your fans. It's the difference between saying I'm a gourmet chef and I've studied in France and I'm coming to a small town in upstate New York and I'm going to open up this artsy-fartsy restaurant that's $150 a plate and no one's coming. Because they don't appreciate your food, they can't afford your prices, and they just think you're a hoity-toity bunch of crap, as opposed to say, well, let me go to an area that really wants this. What do the people in this area want? Well, what do wrestling fans want? Apparently they want what AEW is giving you. It's no knock on any WWE athlete or any NXT athlete. WWE is still outdrawing, you know, AEW by a ton. But when you go head-to-head with your NXT brand, which Triple H has for long said, this is his baby and, you know, he feels it's superior to the WWE. Superior to the WWE, it can't even outdraw AEW. WWE's outdrawing AEW 3-1, 4-1. So something's wrong there, Triple H. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Throw away your demographics, throw away your stupid charts, throw away your focus groups, and just concentrate on wrestling. By the way, some more news, some of it not good. Apparently, Velveteen Dream, still no actual timeline for his return, and some people are speculating that that back injury was a lot more severe than we thought. Now, could it be that they're just bluffing this out so that he shows up at the Rumble or he shows up on an NXT episode? Maybe. But I'm not sure they would do that at this stage. It's looking like he's going to take a lot more in recovery than we thought. So that's a shame because this is a guy who really helped tremendously with the NXT's pulse. And now that NXT is front and center, you know, they're missing a guy who really could be eating up the, you know, the Federation. They're missing a guy who could really bring that charisma and that energy to the television show. And that's really a shame, Mike.
It really is a shame, you know, and that's the thing. Now, you know, that's a guy that at the point at which he went out, just before he went out, we were going, you got to bring him up. You got to bring him up, you know. And that's the thing. Now, as far as what you were talking about with giving the fans what they want, obviously they're not just giving the fans what they want, but they're giving a greater range of the fans what they want, as evidenced by the demographics. They're not asking for the demographics. They're not in the meeting. AEW is not in the meeting saying, what can we do to get this big a swath of people? They're just saying, what can we do to make the fans happy? That's what they're doing. And coming with that is the fact that they're making a greater range of the fans happy at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. It takes care of itself. I don't know of any other activity that does this. I don't know of any band who says, well, we're going on tour in the UK. Can we throw in some oi, oi, oi punk songs in there and some, you know, nobody does that. You just go do what you do. We're going to Mexico. You think we could sing a few of these in Spanish? Nobody does that. Just do what you do and have confidence in what you do that it's going to reach a large amount of people because it's good. Not because, oh, I'm familiar with that. Do you honestly think that just because you've tried it before, did the fans take to Alberto Del Rio? Did all of the Latin American fans say, oh, Alberto Del Rio? No, they say, he's not that great. So there's your proof. Did the doors to the Middle East open wide on Jinder Mahal, who happens to be a Canadian anyway? No. Why do you keep doing this? Drew McIntyre will succeed because Drew McIntyre is good at what he does. If you give him the right storyline, you give him the microphone occasionally, and you give him a good, compelling opponent, he'll do fine. And he'll do fine in the Middle East, and he'll do fine in Japan, and he'll do fine with China, and he'll do fine with the UK, and he'll do fine in Des Moines, Iowa, because he's good. For God's sake. Not because he looks just like everybody else. Not because he talks just like everybody else. I don't know who's telling you this. I don't know who's putting this in your head. It's dumb. Nobody does that. So what do we got here from AEW and NXT? Well, this week, we had two good solid wrestling shows. And we have a clear winner again. This is not 20,000 people. This is 250,000 people. That's a huge number. 250,000 people chose AEW over NXT. And NXT cannot fall back on, well, we didn't really have an important week. No, you had a very important week. You had a battle royal to determine who the number one contender for the women's title would be. You had another round of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. You had a great encounter with Keith Lee and Roderick Strong, which is, I can't wait to see that match. You had a semi-reunion of DIY. You had a lot. You put your best foot forward. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm an NXT fan, but let's not kid ourselves. NXT put their best foot forward. They didn't put on a half-assed effort and suffer from it because people tuned out after match one. That's not what happened. They put on the best show they possibly could, and they got their ass kicked. End of conversation. By a federation who didn't put on that good of a show. So now AEW can take a huge breath and say, we have fans who are willing to follow us loyally, even if every show isn't a masterpiece. We can take a deep breath and say, good, we can use this show to further some angles. And no, it's not going to be a 5-star show, but it's going to further a lot of stuff for next week and be okay with it. As opposed to having to make every show a pay-per-view so we get the ratings, you know? That's one thing AEW has actually shown, is they have patience and they just take a deep breath and say, it's okay. We have a greater plan. We just do our show. They're doing exactly what I said. They're just saying, we're just going to do our show. And we're going to attempt to please the fans and give them what they want. And regardless of whether they're black, white, green, yellow, polka dot, or they come from United States, UK, or China, or Mars, the universal thing is it's a good product. That's the right attitude, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, like you said, about these shows and everything. And like you said, with the NXT stuff, it was pretty cool this week. The part I like with Keith Lee throwing the security guards around out in the back, trying to get to the Undisputed Era and all that stuff. It was pretty cool to see that.
There is no question. If you're an NXT fan, NXT put on a great show. But if you're not seeing it, it doesn't help. Mike, I think that the WWE has to maybe take a little page out of AEW's book here and have NXT just and just follow what they want to do and not try to do this demographic bullshit and just put on what they put on.
Right. They need to do that. And look, we talked about the Dusty Classic earlier, but here's the deal with that. We know that Cody is suing for everything that was created by his dad, right? And that includes the name Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes was not a WWE deal. Dusty Rhodes was around way before he entered the WWE. So,
of course.
If he sues for that name and wins that name, they're going to have to rename that the tournament.
That's going to be a tough win, though, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't matter how long you were around. If tomorrow I decide, okay, my band is now going to a different record label, and that record label says we want full copyright control of your name, and I sign that paper, then they have full copyright control of that name. Period. Until they no longer copyright it. until they no longer keep up with the copyright. So they could potentially, I mean, I recall a guy from an older band, John Fogerty, who was with Creedence Clearwater Revival, saying for a period of time, I couldn't sing any of their songs. And I wrote them. But I wasn't allowed to sing them because I didn't own them. Signed them away. So I don't know if he can win that. If the WWE has kept up copyright, I don't think they can. He can buy it. The WWE can sell it to him. But I don't think he can just win it. I don't think he can say, my dad had this name way before he came to the WWE, because the next thing that their lawyers are going to say is, fine, but he signed the rights to it away. And we have maintained copyright ever since he did. And if they did, then they own it. Lock, stock, and barrel. And they'll own it until the day they say we are no longer going to keep up with copyright. That's just the way things work. So I think that's going to be a hard win for him, Mike.
I think so, too. But you're going to see him try it, though.
Definitely going to try.
He's going to try. Right. And that's the thing. I mean, that includes things like war games and things like that. Things of that nature, that they're actually, the WWE is actually using that war games thing. So, yeah, he's going to try it. Don't mean he's going to win it, but he's going to try it.
Well, Bash at the Beach was a perfect example. They didn't keep the copyright up on that. So Cody could go and copyright that and say, well, it's free. People do that all the time. You know, you could go copyright today. Let me give you guys a little a fun fact. There are movies right now that are in the public domain. And if you so choose to do so and spend your money, you can own the rights to that movie for as long as you want to keep that up, even though you had nothing to do with the movie, even though it was a movie that was, you know, 40 years before you were ever thought of, you still own that movie. You own all the rights to that movie. And you will until the day you no longer pay for that copyright. Right now it's public domain and anyone can use them. These are usually the movies that you see in dollar stores and things, and, you know, because there's no copyright. You could print it out right now. You could print it out on a DVD, put a package on it, pretty package on it, and sell it if you want to, because no one owns it. They've let the copyright die. Well, until the WWE lets the copyright die, I just don't see. I don't know what Cody's argument is going to be. If his argument is going to be, my dad had this name before them, that's a worthless argument. Absolutely worthless. And if his argument is going to be, my dad created all of these things, that's a worthless argument. It doesn't matter what you created. It doesn't matter who created it. Pat Patterson created the Royal Rumble. Pat Patterson signed those rights away. If Pat Patterson tomorrow worked for AEW, it doesn't mean he takes the Royal Rumble with him. It's not the way it works. It's just not the way it works. That's why so many modern wrestlers are trying to keep their own name, their real name, because you can't copyright their real name. They have a legal right to their real name. Nobody can own your real name. So if your real name is Akira Tozawa, which it is, Akira Tozawa can work as Akira Tozawa wherever he goes forever. If your name is Bobby Roode, which it is, then he can work as Bobby Roode wherever he goes. If your name is Bray Wyatt, you're not working as Bray Wyatt if you leave, ever, until they decide they're not going to use that, copyright that name anymore, which they won't do. So you'll be forever known as something else because you can't use it. WWE owns it, no matter who thought of it. So it really just comes down to that. So I don't know if Cody will be successful. And truthfully, I think this is a mistake on his part because I think it's a battle he can't win. And I don't know why you want to, you know, toss sand in the face of somebody who right now you're beating. And you know what? Let a sleeping dog lie. You're winning. You're beating them in the ratings. You're never going to have the ratings that SmackDown and Raw have. So forget it. If you think you're doing 2.5 million, you're not. Not in the foreseeable future. So why kick sand in their face? Just let it go. If they let go of some of the copyrights and you want to pick them up, that's fair game. That's good business. That's fine. The WWE can't argue that. That's their fault for letting it go. But to kick sand in their face, you don't know what they'll do. The WWE is a weird company. And they're a very egotistical company. And don't put it past Vince McMahon. Do not put it past Vince McMahon to put people on NXT that you people say, well, I have to watch NXT now. I have to. He'll do it. Because in his mind, he'll say, wait a minute, I got 2.5 million viewers on SmackDown. Well, would it be terrible if I had 2.1? So remove this guy from SmackDown. Put him on NXT. They're already going to do it. I'm telling you right now, they're already going to do it. But the names that they're bandying about, those aren't names that are going to affect those ratings much, like Cedric Alexander and stuff like that. He's a great wrestler, but he's not going to draw. It's not going to be the ratings boost they want. But Kevin Owens has said, I'm interested in going down there full time. And if Kevin Owens goes down there, that's big. That's very big. Sami Zayn has said, I'll go back down there. That's reasonably big if he does. There are people who are willing to go down there. And then there are some people who they may just get sent down there whether they're willing to go or not because they're a draw. And that is what Vince McMahon will do if he thinks there's egg on his face for months and months and months at a time. They're going to try this the old-fashioned way. They're going to try to get people talking about NXT with five-star matches and insane spots and up-and-coming wrestlers who you say, oh, I have to see these guys are up-and-coming. They're up-and-coming. They're going to preach that. They're going to bring all these NXT guys into WWE as much as possible, showcase them in front of the 2 million people that are watching or whatever and try to get you interested in them. That's how they're going to do it first. But if that does not work, and so far it has not worked, they're going to cut loose because they're going to say, we got enough people. What's the difference if we send Kevin Owens from Raw down to NXT and just use a guy that we were marginally using on Raw to be as big as Kevin Owens? We can do that. There's guys there that'll fill that spot. And then you got a major draw in NXT that fans are going to say, well, I don't know. Kevin Owens is down there. Finn Balor is down there. You know, a couple other guys I really like are down there. Now I got to have to start watching this. Right now, who do you have? Finn Balor, who I never really thought was a huge, huge draw, isn't taking that many people away. I would argue Undisputed Era is about it. Tommaso Ciampa to maybe some extent, but not a huge extent. And when you look at the Undisputed Era, you got to understand that Adam Cole is in his early 30s. And I think that Kyle O'Reilly is in his early or mid-30s, but Bobby Fish is in his mid-40s. So, I mean, this isn't something that's going to go on forever. They've got a strike here while the iron's hot, and I think they know it. And I think Triple H knows it, too. Now, they signed some people. But they're nobody, like, no huge names. They signed some people to NXT contracts that are going to be, you know, future stars, but nothing that's going to draw right now. If they feel they cannot draw. Hell, they did this when we went to see 205 Live. 205 Live knew it was going to be hard. They didn't know, but they figured it would be hard to draw a huge audience with just 205 Live people. Turns out they were very wrong. Because Enzo Amore packed that place. And anyone who doubts that it was Enzo Amore who packed that place should have been there that night. Because you would have thought Hulk Hogan came out. I turned to the people who were with me, Todd being one of them, and I said, who's this? Enzo Amore's Hulk Hogan all of a sudden. The whole place has erupted. And he's the bad guy. And the whole place erupted when Enzo Amore came out. There were people wearing his hair wigs. There were people holding up signs. It was insane. It was insane. I think he fought Cedric Alexander, and Cedric got a lukewarm reaction because everybody was for Enzo. And on that same card, because the WWE didn't think the 205 Live guys would draw, Bray Wyatt fought Matt Hardy. They're not in the 205 Live division, but they were there anyway. Well, we have a special match. That's the draw match. I got news. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy got a decent pop. Nothing close to Enzo Amore. Nothing close. So sometimes the WWE isn't too sure how to draw. or they hedge their bets. But I know Vince McMahon and Triple H are not going to take this, we're losing every week by a quarter of a million people, without fighting back in some way. And I suspect that when they get finished trying to promote these other NXT guys on the main roster a little bit to try to get you to switch channels, and they see that's going to be unsuccessful, I believe it will be, that they start raiding their own roster. They got very deep rosters. They have very deep rosters, and there's no reason in the world that they can't send, Anderson, Gallows, and even AJ. You don't think AJ would love that schedule? They could send them. Hell, they could send the New Day if they want. They could send the Usos if they want. They could send anybody they want. For a limited time or permanently. Doesn't matter. But they could have a storyline. They could say, we're not doing anything with you right now. We don't really have anything for the New Day right now for the next month and a half, 2 months. So you guys go down to NXT. You got a month and a half storyline with Undisputed Era. Well, that's going to draw. Or KO, you go down there for 2 months and you're going to have a storyline with the following guys. Well, that's going to draw. And Mike, that is something I'm sure the WWE has on their table right now.
Right. And look, you can send AJ down there and you'll tell him you're going to have a storyline with Finn Balor. That's going to draw, you know?
Yeah, big.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, they're guys, and look, you could ask, if they're, I know they're kind of messing around with them right now, but if they end up keeping Dash and Dawson and Wilder, they might be ones that they might send down to NXT as well.
Absolutely. You think they wouldn't want to go? And right now they're very, I don't know if they're huge draws, but they put on some good matches. My point is they're going to try to find the way to close that gap between NXT and AEW. They're going to try to find a way. Whether they're successful or not, I don't know. The only time the WWE would panic is if they literally said, we're sending New Day down for 2 months, and they're going to feud with whoever. Or Undisputed Era. Or we're going to send down the OC, and they're going to feud with the Undisputed Era. We're going to send Kevin Owens down, and he's going to feud with Adam Cole, or he's going to feud with whoever. And it didn't work. Then they'd panic. Because then they'd say, well, it doesn't seem to matter. We're sending star power people down, people who draw. And it's not working. Then they would panic. Right now, they're out as well. You know, we're still trying to establish NXT as its own brand. For a long time, it was considered the minor leagues of WWE, and now it's not. And we're trying to establish these guys, and right now they're not established. And while AEW is running our leftovers, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, Pac, these are all our leftovers. They're running guys who we made, we gave a huge name to, and now they're capitalizing on our ability to get those guys over. They didn't get them over. We did. That's what they're going to say. And they're right about that to an extent. But that's what they're going to say. Well, if they didn't have those guys, what do you think the ratings would be? It was our guys and the way we promoted them. Now they're promoting them over here and you know, they're big names because of us. That's what they're going to say. While in NXT, we are still working on some of these guys to be big names. Whether it's true or not, if by summertime, and that's not so very far away, we're in the end of January, we got February, March, April, May, in 4 months' time, if NXT can't climb closer to that 900,000 mark and at least equal what AEW is doing on a regular basis, or the opposite happens and AEW's numbers don't drop down to the 700s, the same as NXT, watch for major, major changes in the NXT roster and the WWE roster. Anyway, folks, we will be back here on Sunday. Tonight, of course, on SmackDown, we will be seeing, I guess, a tables match between Big E and I think it's John Morrison. By the way, I just found out that Morrison is 40. So it's not like Morrison has 10 years to, you know, get his crap together here. This is probably why Morrison came back. They probably threw a ton of money at him. He looks great for his age, but, you know, you're talking AJ Styles is like 42, 43 and saying this is my last contract I'm ever signing because I'm getting too old to do this. Well, Morrison, you know, it's just as old, really. A couple other guys are just as old, really. So you got to understand that the WWE is running out of time with some of their top guys as it is. Anyway, we'll be back here on Sunday to discuss it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio.